In a story on last week's show, NPR correspondent Philip Reeves visited a Sri Lankan village that was devastated by the tsunami this past Christmas weekend. This week, Reeves takes us to another Sri Lankan coastal village to meet American pastor Stephen Bycroft. Bycroft arrived in Sri Lanka long before the tsunami. At first, he set out to work with local residents in the face of considerable hostility. Now, as he helps the community to recover, Bycroft's relationship with the village is changing. Here's Philip Reeves' report.
It was never going to be easy for Stephen Bycroft, a pastor from Joplin, Missouri, after he moved into a village on Sri Lanka's east coast last year. It's his Sri Lankan wife Shanti's home, but in these parts, Christian missionaries are viewed with suspicion.
At first, you know, when we came here with the intention of starting a church, even though Shanti is from this village and is a Christian and well-known, well-respected, we encountered a lot of resistance, and sometimes open resistance, even, you might say, persecution.
With its small red-tiled homes and coconut groves, this seaside village appears idyllic, but its behavior was far from that. Bycroft is a large, burly man, but there were times when he felt threatened.
We've had stones thrown at our house, broken roof tiles. I've lost count of the number of tiles that we've had to replace because they've been broken by stones. The sign in our front yard has been, stones and things have been thrown at it, damaged, to where now the paint is peeling off of our sign.
Attacks on Christian churches are not uncommon in Sri Lanka. There have been scores of reported attacks in the last few years. Hardline elements among the country's Buddhist majority accuse Christian missionaries of converting people by bribing them with gifts and money, an allegation Christian clerics deny. The people in the village in which Bycroft lives, Kodai Kala, are mostly Tamil Hindus, but here too sectarian suspicion abounds.
They were having open meetings advertised by loudspeaker. They had put up posters and all of these kind of things, and it was basically you know, what are we going to do with these Christians here in our village?
Kodai Kala is an island connected to the mainland by two causeways. When the tsunami swept in, mowing down hundreds of homes, these roads were broken. For a while, supplies were flown in by Sri Lankan military helicopters. Bycroft and his wife devoted their energies to helping victims. Their small front room used to double as a church for Sunday services. Now it's a makeshift clinic where an American physician visiting Sri Lanka for a few weeks treats the village's sick, including tsunami victims. It hasn't been easy. Bycroft says some international aid agencies who've rushed into the region in large numbers handed out supplies without paying enough regard to who were receiving them. When villagers saw largely unaffected families benefiting at the expense of genuine victims, they tended to blame him as the resident foreigner. Overall, though, Bycroft thinks the tsunami helped erode some of the hostility towards him.
I think, in general, yes, because they see that we really do care about the people. Before, it was kind of the idea of, well, you know, the only ones that they're concerned about are the Christian people here in the village. Probably 95% of the relief that we have passed out has been to Hindu people that have never come to church, and most probably will never come to church. But that's okay. You know, we're trying to alleviate some pain and some suffering, and as best we can.
It'll be a long time before that suffering fades away. Bycroft says the villagers are still on edge.
Since the tsunami, honestly, I've lost count of the number of times where there have been, where everybody will run to the far side of the village away from the ocean and climb up into the two-story houses again.
Down by the Indian Ocean, the waters still seem quietly threatening, especially to those who felt their full force. Bycroft says the tsunami has changed the relationship between the people along this coastland and the sea.
You'll stand there carrying on a conversation with the people, and they'll talk with you for a while, and then they turn and look at the ocean. And then they'll resume the conversation, and then they turn and look at the ocean. There is just that constant fear that, you know, at any minute, any second, that it's going to happen again.
That fear can trigger instant panic. Bycroft recalls one occasion when a man raised the alarm merely because it was raining.
One night, there was a rainstorm that was coming across the ocean, and they could hear the rain approaching. It was dark, they couldn't see. They thought it was another wave because they could hear it hitting the water. They started shouting that the sea was coming, and when people realized that it was just a rainstorm, they all ganged up and beat him up, and he ended up in the hospital for 2 days.
Bycroft is himself a tsunami victim. It's hit him hard personally, not least because a fellow pastor from his church in a nearby village lost 5 family members. 2 months after the catastrophe, Bycroft's still feeling the effects.
To say that it has not affected me would be a complete lie. For about 3 weeks after, it was extremely difficult to sleep. Simply, you know, there are always those thoughts, you know, that something else could happen. So it has been very difficult in that respect. It is also a reminder that, you know, this life is so uncertain.
But he's not giving up, and despite everything, he says he has no regrets about setting up in a remote and sometimes hostile village.
No, I'm glad that we came. We have done what we could, and we're doing what we feel God wants us to do.
Philip Reeves, NPR News.